We are now in this country at the highest level of security, bar one. We're at really, everybody's very keyed up, particularly with the election coming. And since with the election coming, and since January, we have been at this high state of security alert. And in England today, or in Britain actually, you're photographed on average between 300 and 400 times. Everyone is photographed by cameras. There are more cameras in London than there are in Beijing or Moscow.
Why does England seem to be so concerned about terrorism compared to the United States in terms of, you know, the feeling on the streets? I mean, I'm sure governments are always concerned, but in England, like you just said, cameras everywhere. What is it about that area that is more frightening,
well,
I guess?
Exactly. But it's not just London. It's the other cities. We have spending millions on cameras, on security systems, on checks. The average person in London can expect to be stopped by a policeman under new laws introduced earlier this year every 93 seconds, reports the Daily Mail yesterday.
Hey, just to be stopped.
Stop and ask, what are you doing? Now, I do a lot of television interviews for various companies around the world, and they usually come to my office. They've told me, coming down here into the country, they've often been stopped when they've been shooting pickup shots around the streets of buildings and so on. I said, well, what do they ask you? And they say, why are you shooting that building? I said, well, it's a series of shops. There's nothing wrong there. I said, why are you shooting it? Why are you filming it? And these are laws that have been passed now. This is an issue which the National Union of Journalists and the Institute of Journalists are raising with the government and getting nowhere. And it's rather scary because you can be pulled in for nothing. And you're told, all right, on your way. And no reason given. And we never know what's in those streets. I suspect a lot of it is rubbish. They just pick it up for whatever reason.
Well, which leads me to a couple of these questions here, Gordon, and we'll get into your incredible work here with Secret Wars. I'm sure you've heard of all the conspiracies, and I just want your take on this. Conspiracy number one, that 9/11 was an inside job. Now, my definition of that is a little different from others, because I'm convinced that this planet has a world government, a shadow government that's out to manipulate other governments. And, you know, I think it's beyond presidents and beyond prime ministers. Maybe they hired bin Laden and his group of cronies to go ahead and do this. But in your opinion, what do you think of 9/11, first of all?
Well, 9/11, for me, is a classic example of gross intelligence failure. They had these people in their frame for some time, and the excuse that MI5 now give is this: well, we like to wait and see where the trail will take us. And they waited and saw it took them right to blowing up parts of London. This is the worrying part. There's no doubt at all that the intelligence was bad, that the leadership was bad, that the recruiting was bad, and who knows what went on behind the scenes. Dame Eliza Manningham Buller, who was the head of MI5 at the time, has a good track record. She has built up a reputation. She became the top woman in intelligence in Britain, and yet she did not keep her eye on the ball, or the crochet stick, whatever she was using. And we missed out. The most worrying thing is this, that these terrorists were homegrown. They weren't imported. These are Muslims who had been born in Britain, raised in Britain, and then went off to train in Pakistan. They were allowed back in. There was no mystery about coming back in there. Say they had British passports, they just came straight through, went back to their hiding holes and waited. And when the signal came, go do it, they went and did it.
Yeah. Now, Is it possible that the intelligence failure was one of intent, that they knew these things were happening, and they simply said, let's just let it happen because we have a bigger agenda?
There is that possibility that they're always saying, when things go wrong, you know, when you ask, well, what happened here? We have a bigger agenda. That's exactly just what they say. And it is also in the terms of 9/11, it is also very much a failure, a sloppiness of intelligence. I mean, their surveillance is poor. Their training for surveillance is poor. They put on the street agents who were not familiar with the language at all. They couldn't speak any of the languages of Pakistan or Afghanistan at all. And this is a problem, because linguistic skills are all important, and they just didn't have them. And I know from talking to some of them in the past that they said, well, the reason we got rid of, because we just couldn't speak the languages. And they don't speak the languages still. That's a terrifying thing. On one hand, as I said, Evans, the head of MI5, gets rid of 100 agents now, and now he's launched this week a massive recruiting drive to find young university students who can be trained in any of the languages that are needed for dealing with terrorists from the Middle East. And they mostly come from the Middle East, that's the point. So there's languages there, about 45 languages you need to have some smattering of. And we have, you know, in Britain today, we have 2.5 million Muslims. Most are okay, but there's quite a growing number who you must be worried about, and sure, we are worried about, and the security services say they are worried about, and that's why they're at a high state of alert. But is that enough just to be worried? I don't know. They are very defensive when you talk to them. Or they have excuses, you know. You don't know the full picture. That's always the thing they say. The full picture, of course, must be kept secret for national security, they say. Well, there's certainly a point in that.